I don't know, but I feel like this particular episode should be like the top five nerdiest ones we've ever done. Like between the stats and words that I can barely spell. Yeah. Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. Hey guys, we are back this week with episode 92. I'm Chris Roby, and across from me is Carly Duke.
I feel like we are getting dangerously close to episode 100, and we're going to have to think of something really fun to do.
I know. It's like those round numbers you really got to make a big deal out of, and so I'm sure we will, and it will be awesome.
I know. But I am excited for today. Chris looked at my notes and was like, whoa, we are a little stat heavy. Yes. So hang with us. But I do think it's just important to talk about because BARC Technologies recently released their 2022 report of statistics and trends that focus on the online activities for tweens and teenagers, so 10 to 17. Yep. And so throughout 2022, they analyzed, and we'll talk, hang on, because if you're like, I don't know what BARC Technologies is, we will talk about that in the tip. So we'll talk about more what they do, but it's a monitoring app, basically. And so gotcha. They analyzed more than 4.5 billion messages across text, emails, YouTube, and 30 other apps and social media platforms. And so they kind of put out this report every year of like, here's what we found. Here's what we found that are red flags or alerts that our people are getting. And so I wanted to hit on some of these because some of them are a little scary, but we're going to link resources on our website. So if you're listening to this and you're like, maybe I should be concerned about this or maybe I should know more, please visit our website for this episode and we'll post all these links that'll be helpful. But we're not trying to scare you, but we do want to kind of be like, hey, here's what's going on. And this is a real thing for our teenagers and our tweens, like our late elementary school students that we need to be talking about.
Yeah. And Teen Life has been doing podcasts for 6 or 7 years now. And we've been following social media in some way, shape or form during that entire run. And even before that, we would do lots of, kind of local talks and blog posts. And this subject matter of social media is near and dear to us because when we go into schools and talk to administrators and talk to counselors, so many of the problems that they face as educators come back to the things we're talking about with social media because this is such a powerful technology that we are just putting into the hands of adolescents who aren't fully socially formed themselves. And don't really have a lot of the guardrails and boundaries that, we as grownups have earned and learned, so to speak. And so this is what we're about to talk through here. While this is scary, is pretty important to keep in mind as we turn over the keys to the Ferrari, so to speak, of social media, that if these things are happening and these trends are happening, that we need to be having really serious, important conversations, not only with our teenagers who already have social media. But I'm thinking about for me as a dad of a sixth grader who these conversations are starting of what does social media look like and how are we going to navigate this in a healthy way?
Yeah, I think I saw yesterday even some parents of like toddlers posting some of these stats and they were saying, okay, these are conversations I need to start having early. This isn't something that you wait until you have a problem, but it's something you start having conversations about. So we wanted to talk through them. And like I said, if you've been listening to this podcast at all, you know that we're all about having conversations. And so this isn't something to go and assume that your teenager is falling into these categories, but it is something to ask questions about. Go back a few episodes and listen to that episode where we talk about curiosity. But the first one I want to talk about is self-harm and suicide. So in 2022, of the messages that they analyzed, 35.7% of tweens and 64.3% of teenagers were involved in a self-harm or suicidal situation.
A huge number.
That is massive. And so just some like quick national stats, suicide is the second leading cause of death for ages 10 to 14, which seems so young to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's crazy, but this is a thing that is real, and it's something that you need to be having conversations about. Not even necessarily, it's always good to have conversations if you are worried about your teenager having suicidal or self-harming thoughts, but it's also a conversation because they could be exposed to this from another friend. Mm-hmm. Or from someone that they follow on social media or watch on YouTube that is talking about this. And so having conversations of, hey, how would you handle this if a friend came to you and said something?
And I think too, as helpers, whether we're a parent or a coach or a teacher, that we are better prepared for these conversations. Carly, this morning, I had a conversation with someone just out of the blue. They came up to me, they know I work with teenagers, and asked me, hey, I've got someone who I know who has a teenager who is, you know, dealing with suicidal thoughts. And of course, I had 1,000 questions to make sure I understood what was happening, but it happens on the regular for me. And I know for anyone who has a teenager right now, being prepared for these conversations, being ready, we have some great episodes on suicide and talking about suicide that we'll link in the show notes. Yeah. But this is a huge conversation, especially as we see 64.3% of teenagers were involved in either self-harm or suicidal situation of some kind. It's a huge mm-hmm. topic.
Right. Now, another big stat is sexual content. So 62.4% of tweens and 82.2% of teenagers encountered nudity or content of a sexual nature. Mm-hmm. And so that is pretty scary. And another stat was that this was from Thorn, that among kids who have shared their own nudes, 43% admitted they shared them with someone they did not know in real life.
Wow.
So
yeah, we're coming up on 85% of teenagers who've encountered something, which
yeah,
you know, probably would say could be higher. Mm-hmm. But half not knowing.
Yeah, that's what's scary to me, I think, is that they're not even sending them to trusted people. And so you have no idea where that goes. Mm-hmm. And so once again, just making sure you're having conversations with your teenagers of, hey, what are you seeing? And like I said, remember, this covered a vast range of apps. And so it could even be music that they're listening to. You know what I mean? So it doesn't necessarily mean that 82.2% of teenagers either sent nudes or got nudes, but they were exposed to sexual content in some nature. And so, especially if you are maybe a parent who is trying to shelter your kids at home, but they have a cell phone, know that they're being exposed to those things. And we've talked about this before. You have to be having conversations about sex and sexuality pretty early on. Mm-hmm. Because they're being exposed to it in other places. And so that's just something, I'll link that episode as well, because we had to talk about that and about how to talk to your teenagers about that. I think that was actually with my dad last year. So I will link that episode because that's a good one. Now, as far as predators, this is another stat that this one is smaller. But 9.4% of tweens and 14.2% of teenagers encountered predatory behaviors from someone online. And so this stat is smaller, which is nice, but it's still significant enough that you need to be having conversations. And I think the scariest thing that I saw in here is that it only takes 8 minutes for a predator to form a bond with a child.
Yeah, not long at all. And I would say that's even shorter if those conversations aren't already happening in your home about what to look for and mm-hmm. what to be asking.
And I think that's what, tying into the last one, that's what's scary, of these kids are sending stuff to people they don't know. And so that could take this predatory form as well. And so just having conversations, when I was growing up, we talked about stranger danger all the time. Make sure you're having those same conversations when it comes to online activity and what they're doing and who they're talking to and who they're interacting with. For disordered eating, which we've done some episodes on this recently, 4.4% of tweens and 15.1% of teenagers engaged with or encountered content about disordered eating. And so this, once again, is a smaller stat, which is nice, but 95% of people with eating disorders are between the ages of 12 and 25.
So would this stat be about seeking help?
It could be about seeking help. It could be about if they're watching videos about it. It could be about if they're texting a friend about their eating disorder, or a friend texted them about not eating or throwing up or stuff like that. That's what it's flagging. My guess is this number obviously would be bigger that's probably one that's just not talked about as much. Mm-hmm. So it's something to keep an eye on. Anxiety is another one that obviously we know is a big deal for teenagers. And so 19.3% of tweens and 41.2% of teenagers use language or are exposed to language about anxiety, almost half of teenagers.
Yes, and that's anxiety and depression, as we'll talk about here in a second, are behaviors we deal with pretty consistently in our groups. Teenagers are, especially, you know, the older teenagers you get, are more comfortable talking about this and using this language to describe, you know, how the world's affecting them right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for depression, it's about the same. So 44.1% of teens were engaged in conversations about depression. And so that's something that is good to note. It also noted on here that depression in youth has doubled since the beginning of the pandemic. Mm. But I think I didn't write this stat down, but I also think it went down from 2021. And so it got less this last year, which is nice. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's kids being back in normal activities and stuff. But I just feel like it's different now. And we've seen that in our groups, and we've seen that with the teenagers that we have talked to, that their world looks very different post 2020.
Absolutely.
It does. Now, one of the biggest flags in stats that is on this list is bullying. Mm-hmm. And 71.2% of tweens and 83.3% of teenagers experienced bullying either as a bully, a victim, or a witness.
This, I believe. This is something that I hear about all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think about this. And Carly, I don't know if you've ever been a victim of not just full out bullying like you would hear about for a teenager, but just whenever you get a text message or some kind of social media, one-sided, you don't see them, you just get the text interaction that's kind of negative towards you, how tough that is to take in, because there's so many blanks you can't fill in mm-hmm. in that moment. And, you know, I can't imagine being a teenager and experiencing repeated and unwanted texts and messages that are intended to hurt, intended to make you feel horrible, how damaging this could be. This is a big deal.
Right. And even on social media, I see it happening to adults mm-hmm. and social media influencers who will post a picture and have all these people come and just post nasty things. Mm-hmm. And you know it's happening to your teenagers as well. And so this is one to have conversations about. And one of the things that they said is many teens feel like they're being targeted because of their physical appearance. Hmm. Which is heartbreaking. That's heartbreaking to think that they're sitting there going, it's nothing even I did. It's just what I look like. Mm-hmm. Whether that's truth or not, that's how they're feeling. And so that's something that we need to validate and have conversations about. Now, we've got two left. So violence is one that 75% of tweens, 88.2% of teenagers expressed or experienced violent subject matter and thoughts, which that's a scary one as well, especially with the stats of like school shootings lately. And obviously those have been on the rise. So they noted that school shootings rose to the highest number in 20 years, according to the federal report in 2022.
Yes.
And so our teenagers are just living in a world that can be kind of scary. And because of social media, they're seeing it. Mm-hmm. It's not just something that happened states away that they don't know about. They're seeing it on their feed and they're hearing about it and friends are talking about it. So having conversations about that is important as a family or even as a school. If you're a teacher or a coach or a youth minister, someone who's involved with teenagers, having these conversations is important.
They're seeing it. And so to have the safety of a trusted adult to be able to process that and to make sense of it and for them to know that you as that trusted adult can handle that conversation is significant for sure.
Okay, for the last one, drugs and alcohol, 66% of tweens, 84.8% of teenagers engaged in conversations around drugs or alcohol. We've done conversations on drugs as well and even gone into, I think we did an episode where we talked about emojis that teenagers could be using or slang that they could be using to catch. And so this is one that obviously nicotine is a big one. Vaping is a big one. We've talked about that. And so they might not even be as, I don't know, I'm going to say hard drugs, but teenagers are talking about it. They're seeing content about it. I mean, especially if they're on social media or YouTube, They're going to be hearing stuff about this. And so once again, even if you would say, never my teenager, just know that they're being exposed to this because these stats are saying that they're seeing stuff about it. And so having conversations is important. Now, I just wanted to hit on a few things that they kind of wrapped up the report with, which is 13-year-old females have the most frequent suspicious encounters with risky contacts. So that young middle school girl, just know that maybe they're a little more trusting. Maybe they're getting social media and a phone for the first time. And so they are the most at risk. Female tweens and teens are 51% more likely than males to have body image or disordered eating content flagged. So they're finding that's an issue for our girls. And then they also found that suicide, depression, and anxiety alerts peaked at ages 15 to 16.
Okay.
And then these are three, if you would like, I'm going to link this, obviously, if you want to go read the whole report, it's pretty extensive. But one thing they also did was they showed the top apps for some of these of things to look out for. And I'm not going to go through all five, but Instagram was flagged as a top app for body image concerns. Snapchat was flagged as a top app for bullying. And Kick, which I think we've talked about that on the podcast too, that's a messaging app, was flagged as the top app for severe sexual content.
Yeah, I think if you go back and listen to our episodes on those particular apps, which we've done all three of those, the way that they're put together and the things that are emphasized I think rewarded, you can see why those would be, those issues would be top of mind for all three of those.
This episode is sponsored by Lubbock Christian University. If you or a teen you know is interested in furthering their education in youth ministry, LCU is the perfect partner for you. When you visit their website in the show notes, you'll find information on a youth ministry degree or other ways that you can partner with LCU through summer camps, internships, events, and more. Contact our friend David Fraze to find out more about LCU and life and ministry to young people at david.fraze@lcu.edu. And don't forget, go Shaps!
For the trend this week, Chris, I want to talk about parasocial relationships. Has this been something, at least the word, have you heard this word before?
I don't know, but I feel like this particular episode should be like the top five nerdiest ones we've ever done. Like between the stats and words that I can barely spell. Yeah.
I love it. So parasocial relationships is something that I had never heard of it until my brother actually brought it to my attention. He's a youth minister. And then once I looked into it, I was like, oh, I understand this concept. I just hadn't heard the word.
Right.
And so a parasocial relationship is a one-sided relationship that a media user engages in with a media persona.
All right.
So think movie characters, TV characters, social media influencers, podcast hosts, YouTube stars. Just think if you feel like you have a connection, and especially our students have a connection with someone that they've never actually met, but they would consider maybe a friend, or they would consider someone who gives good advice, or they would watch the same show over and over and over again because it brings comfort. That's a parasocial relationship.
You never had one of those before, have you, Carly?
Oh, never.
I was just thinking about that whole thing about watching the same thing over and over again. Like, oh,
I know. I do that a lot. I'm doing that right now. I mean, there are just some things that like characters that you just really enjoy. And if you're in a certain season, maybe you need that.
Right. Exactly. So not only really nerdy, but really hitting close to home.
Exactly. That's what this, I put this on here for teenagers. And then as I talked, like looked into it more, I was like, oh, I totally do this too. And I'm sure a lot of us do.
Yeah. And I think any of us who do in some level, I think a lot of people consume some form of media that feels really comfortable and kind of is in their lane. Or, you know, whether it's, you know, a certain YouTube channel or a certain podcast. I know for years I drove a lot for my job. And so I listened to a lot of radio and just like, you know, talk radio or, you know, and those are, you know, it's hours long. Mm-hmm. And it just becomes really comfortable, you know? And so I understand this just based upon former jobs I've had and ways I kind of coped with the time passing. I totally get this.
Yeah. Now, parasocial, there are two other, like they're connected, but not exactly the same that I wanted to hit on. Parasocial interactions is this is exclusive while they're interacting with that persona. Sometimes they can resemble real life face-to-face interactions. So an example they gave is like if you're watching Friends and you feel like you're part of the gang or they're your friends, but then when you stop watching that TV show, you just go about your normal life. That's just an interaction. Mm-hmm. But if you continue to think about it, if you continue to maybe reference their behavior or feel like you have a relationship, that's when it turns into a relationship. But just that one time, or maybe you're listening to a podcast or the radio and you talk back to the host, you're like, mm-hmm. yeah, I totally agree with that. That's an interaction because mm-hmm. you feel like you're connected to them in that moment, but then you might move on with your day.
That makes sense. And that kind of, you know, that normalizes a little bit a lot of our interactions with certain kinds of media. If you're constantly going back to the stuff, but you don't really think about it much outside of that. So maybe sometimes for people, it's like a time of day mm-hmm. You know, just a certain trigger, you know, cue that like you turn on the TV. You know, for a lot of people, it's while you're washing dishes at night, you watch your favorite TV show or
sure.
Or if you're on a certain drive or, you know, when that podcast episode drops, you're always looking for it. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And that's where parasocial attachments come in. And that's when that persona becomes a source of comfort, security, a safe haven. Mm-hmm. So like we said, if you're watching the same show or the same character over and over, or you have this actor that you love and you watch all of their movies, that kind of becomes a parasocial attachment. Now, quickly, a con obviously of this is, especially depending on what they're watching, maybe it's a Twitch person that they're watching play video games and they talk all the time, or a YouTube person, or TikTok. That can affect, I mean, their behaviors, their views, political views, what they buy. And so just know that if they believe that there's a relationship there, then there's more likely that it's going to affect how they act. But some pros too, especially, I think we probably saw this even more during the pandemic when we weren't as connected in person to people. It increases a sense of belonging. It can reduce loneliness because they can turn to this character when they're feeling lonely. And then it can also increase stronger connections because maybe you and a friend watch this show together. Or like, for example, there's a social media influencer that I follow that I have friends that follow her too. And so if she posts about something, we might talk about it. And so you can use that to connect with other people. But obviously, we want our teenagers to have real life, in-person relationships. And so just make sure you're having conversations of, hey, who are you watching? Who do you listen to? Who do you follow on social media? Is there one person that they talk about quite a bit that you know they've never met? Or that you're like, hey, I've never seen that person at school. Tell me more about them. That might be a flag to listen for. Parasocial relationships don't have to be unhealthy, but we also don't want them to take the place of real relationships if they're turning to that instead of going out with friends or connecting with people in real life. For the tip, Chris, let's wrap up by going back up to BARC Technologies. And so I said we'd come back to this, but BARC Technologies is an award-winning online safety company. It's known for developing this like highly sophisticated AI-powered parental safety tools. So they recently have a smartphone. They also have an app, a hardware device, school-specific monitoring systems. They put out a lot of resources. They might even have a book, I think. And so I have never personally used this, so I am not recommending it. But if you are looking for a monitoring option for your family, if you were listening to the beginning of our podcast going, this is really scary, and I have no idea what my teenager is looking at or watching, BARC is one that is often talked about. Mm-hmm. And so it might just be one that you could look into. They do content monitoring, screen time and website blocking, location sharing, but then they also give you those alerts that I was talking about. If they catch something in an app or a text that they think might be concerning, they'll send you alerts.
Well, with that, this is a wrap on the nerdiest episode of the Teen Life Podcast.
But hopefully educational. Oh, now
absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. I'm saying that as a good thing. I love it. So if you love this episode like we did, be sure to subscribe to the Teen Life Podcast so that our latest episodes pop up every Tuesday. To follow us on social media, to text this episode to a friend. We've learned that that's the quickest way or an episode to gain popularity is if you like the episode, text the episode to a friend. Review us if you love what you hear on the on your favorite podcast app. Give us all the stars they allow you to give. And we are excited to see you guys next week.